this poem is called The Ambitious Violin. The moral of the story is, throw caution to the winds and live dangerously. It's better to be a lion for a day than a sheep for life. There was a beautiful and fragrant violet who lived placidly amongst her friends and swayed happily amidst the other flowers in a solitary garden. One morning as her crown was embellished with beads of dew, she lifted her head and looked about. She saw a tall and handsome rose standing proudly and reaching high into space like a burning torch on an emerald lamp. The violet opened her blue lips and said, "What an unfortunate am I among these flowers, and how humble is the position I occupy in their presence. Nature has fashioned me to be short and poor. I live very close to the earth and cannot raise my head toward the blue skies nor turn my face to the sun as the roses do." And the rose heard her neighbor's words. She laughed and commented, "How strange is your talk. You are fortunate, yet you do not understand your good fortune. Nature has bestowed upon you fragrance and beauty, which she has granted but to a very few others. Cast aside your thoughts and be contented, and remember that whoever humbles himself shall be exalted, and whoever exalts himself shall be crushed." The violet answered, "You are consoling me, for you have that which I crave. You seek to embitter me with the meaning that you are great. How painful is the preaching of the fortunate to the heart of the miserable. How severe are the strong when they stand as advisor among the weak." And nature heard the conversation of the violet and the rose. She approached and said, "Well, what has happened to you, my daughter Violet? You have been humble and sweet, and all your deeds and words has greed entered your heart and numbed your senses." In a pleading voice, the violet answered her, "Oh, great and merciful mother, full of love and sympathy, I beg you with all my heart and soul to grant my request and turn me into a tall, proud rose." Nature responded, "You know not what you are seeking. You are unaware of the concealed disaster behind your blind ambition. If you were a rose, you would be sorry, and repentance would avail you nothing." The violet answered, "Turn me into a tall rose, for I wish to lift my head high with pride, and regardless of my fate, it will be my own doing." Nature yielded, "O ignorant and rebellious violet, I shall grant your request, but if calamity befalls you, your complaint must be to yourself." And nature stretched forth her mysterious and magic fingers and touched the roots of the violet, who immediately turned into a tall rose, rising above all the flowers in the garden. Now at evening time, the sky became thick with black clouds, and raging elements disturbed the silence of existence with thunder and commenced to attack the garden. It was a terrible storm. It broke the stems from the tall trees, the tall flowers, broke the limbs from the trees, and spared only the little flowers who lived close to the friendly earth. And that solitary garden suffered greatly from the belligerent skies. And when the storm had calmed and the skies had cleared, all the flowers were laid waste, and none of them had escaped the wrath of nature except a clan of small violets hiding by the wall of the garden. Having lifted her head and viewed the tragedy of the fallen flowers and trees, one of the violet maidens smiled happily and called to her companion, saying, "See what the storm has done to the hardy flowers?" Another violet said, "We are small and live close to the earth. We are safe from the wrath of the skies." The third one added, "Because we are poor in height, the most terrible of all storms is unable to subdue us." At that moment, the queen of the violets saw at her side the converted violet, hurled to the earth by the storm and distorted upon the wet grass like a limp soldier in a battlefield. The queen of the violets lifted her head and called to her family, saying, "Look, my daughters, and meditate upon that which greed has done to the violet who became a proud rose for one day. Let the memory of this scene be a reminder of your good fortune." Now the dying rose gathered together the remnants of her ebbing strength and boldly said, "You are contented and meek dullards. I have never feared the most terrible of all storms. Yesterday, I too was satisfied and contented with life, but contentment has acted as a barrier between my existence and the tempest of life, confining me to a sickly and sluggish peace and tranquility of mind. If I could have lived the life you are living now by clinging with fear to the earth, I could have waited for winter to shroud me with snow and deliver me to death, who will surely claim all violence. I am happy now, for I have probed outside my little world into the mystery of the universe, something which you have not yet done. I could have overlooked ambition, whose nature is higher than mine. But as I paid close and apt attention to the silence of the night, I heard the heavenly world whispering to this earthly world. Ambitious, ambition beyond existence is the essential purpose of our being. At that moment, my spirit revolted and my heart longed for a position higher than my limited existence. And at that moment, I commenced fighting against my smallness and craving for that which did not belong to me, till my rebelliousness turned into a great power and my longing into a creating will. Nature, who is the great object of our deepest dreams, granted my request and turned me into a rose with her magic fingers. And the dying rose was silent for a moment, and in a weakening voice mingled with pride and achievement, she said, "I have lived for one day as a proud rose. I have existed for a time like a queen. I have looked at the universe from behind the eyes of the rose. I have heard the whisper of the firmament through the ears of the rose and touched the folds of life's garment with rose petals. Is there any here who can claim such honor?" Having thus spoken, she lowered her head and with a choking voice gasped, "I shall die now, for my soul has attained its goal. I have finally extended my knowledge to a world beyond the narrow cavern of my birth. This is the secret of existence. This is the design of life." Then the rose quivered and slowly folded her petals and breathed her last with a heavenly smile upon her lips, a smile of fulfillment, of hope and purpose in life, a smile of victory, a God's smile.